Good morning. 7:42 a.m. on Thursday, May the 19th, 2016. I know what year it is, really. So, yeah, I'm out. I'm walking. I'm moving. I have very little to say. I'm thinking about some stats today. That was I was responding to a post somebody made about local bookstores again, launch parties again, press releases again. For an independent author, press releases are waste paper. Putting out a press release just is not an effective use of time. And the only possible benefit from a press release is making the author feel like they've done something useful. Or in fact, they haven't, but they've done something. So the perception is that something is better than nothing, even if it's a waste of time. An attitude which drives me crazy. Now, if you're going to do something that's going to be a waste of time, waste some time. Play a game. Do something other than... something that you think is going to help, but actually doesn't make any difference. Launch party is the same way. Unless you live in a major metropolitan area, and I mean major, like LA, New York, Chicago, San Francisco. Unless you live in a major metropolitan area, it's another one of those, it makes you feel good, but doesn't actually matter. And while there's a certain part of me that says, if it makes you feel good, it's worth doing. I'm not sure that it's advice I would really give to people, particularly newcomers to the field, who are then going to have expectation that launch party and that press release is going to make a difference. If you're looking for your first 10 sales, if you're looking for your first 5 sales, maybe the press release won't do anything, but maybe a signing and a launch party might make a difference. 5 or 10 copies. For those who have a significant presence at cons, I'm thinking of a guy named Steve Turnbull, who has it down to a science. He does a lot of hand selling. He likes to do a lot of hand selling. He'll sell enough books to pay for his table at convention. And it's something that he likes to do. It's a process that breaks even for him. And he perceives it as being a legitimate use of his time. And I'm certainly not going to tell Steve Turnbull, but no, he's wrong. But I also am not going to follow in Steve Turnbull's footsteps. Having had tables at cons, they're just not worth the time and hassle for me to do it. And it goes back to something I was talking about earlier, about how many people read. In the Pew Research from last year, 2015, it was published in October. The survey was done in April, I think. 75% of American adults report reading at least one book in whole or in part in the previous year. 75%, which is a bigger number than I thought. Now, the average was 12 books, which is good. That's a book a month. That's cool. That's the average. The median is 4. Now, this discrepancy of 4 for the median. The median is there are exactly as many people who read more than 4 as who read less than 4. And since 12 is the mean, the number of people who read more books than 4 is higher than, the number of people who read more than 4 books is a smaller number than the number who read less than 4. And so the skew for that curve, it's not normally distributed. If it were normally distributed, the mean and the median would be very close together. But the reality is that it's not. It's skewed. So there are a very small number of people who read more than 4 than who read less than 4, fewer than 4. So 80-20 rule. Of the 75,000 people in my town of 100,000 who read a book last year, only about 20% of that 75,000 read enough books for it to be a worthwhile effort to try to reach them. So 20%, one-fifth of 75,000 is like 15,000. So 15,000 people are the marketable population in my town of Greeley. And 25% of them, on average, read speculative fiction in some form or other. They read science fiction or fantasy or horror. Guys tearing this shingle roof off this huge house. So 15,000, one quarter 15,000 is, oh, let's call it 4,000. 4,000 people in this town might read speculative fiction in significant quantities. Now, if I could reach all 4,000 people in this town, that might be worth doing. But what's the probability? What's the difficulty? 4%. How do I reach 4% of the population in the city? Press release isn't going to do it. There are no bookstores. There is no way to reach out to a community of readers in this town. I could put on, there is a community center where I could put on a reading. There's a library. I don't know, maybe I could put on a reading at the library. I'll have to contact the local library district and see what I can do. But the point is, the ability to reach that minuscule portion of the population that might be interested, in the gross sense, might be interested in my book, my books, is very difficult to do. It's very difficult to get that kind of outreach. It's very difficult, particularly in a place where there are no bookstores, in a place where the readers are buying books online. They are reading books at the library, which is one reason for trying to put reading on at the library. But the idea that I might do a launch party, that 7 people will attend, that I would have to pay to rent a hall and provide food and drink at a minimum. I mean, yeah, sure, bring in some tanks of Starbucks coffee and some pastries. Do a reading, do a signing, and get maybe 10 or 15 people to show up for some reason that I can't fathom, that I can't understand, that I don't monk post, that is not, and I think part of it is that I can't imagine going to such an event myself. I don't know how I would be informed of it. I don't know how I would learn that such an event would be happening. The local library district sends out a flyer about once a quarter saying what programs are going to be on for the next quarter. And they're not events I would go to. They're not, a lot of them are children's books, a lot of them are events that are not local author, because Connie Willis and I are the two science fiction authors in town. I'm sure there are other authors in Greeley, but I have no idea who they might be. And as far as I know, I suppose I could do a little Google foo and see if I could turn up authors living in Greeley. I could approach the local Nano group, find out how many there. So, you know, I'm like, really? Are we going down this road? I find it irritating. I find it to be somewhat problematic. In terms of, okay, do I want to be working on a market that's 4,000 people, or do I want to be working in a market that's 4 million people? With 300,000 people in the United... 300,000. 300 million people in the United States, Four percent of that is 12 million. Of the 12 million people in the United States, pretty much all of them shop on Amazon. 4,000, 12 million. 4,000, 12 million. You know, I've got to say that piddling around in the 4,000 pool doesn't seem like a good use of time. It doesn't strike me as being a significant application of effort. Now, the other side of it is that with the next book, I'll have 12 books out. And 12 books times 4,000 is a lot of books at $3 a pop. So it would be worth it if I could sell to all 4,000. It would probably be worth it if I could sell to 1,000 of them. But reaching them is a problem. Reaching them is aggravating. I'm going to have to send books to Nina Els for the Colorado Gold which means I've got to get those paperbacks done. I've got to get them done now. That's probably what I'm going to do today, is convert South Coast and Ashes into paperbacks. At least try to get the markup started on them, get them ready to go, so that I can get some proofs here by the end of the month, so that when my father-in-law is here, I can send some paperback copies back with him, and then I can drop ship some copies to Nina, so she can manage that. I still need to put some in the trunk of the car, as she pointed out, which means I need to take another inventory to see how many I've got left and order a few more copies. Fire engine in the distance, somewhere behind me. I'm not sure where they're going. Let's see. I've been reading some good books. There's one that I picked up from a fellow science fiction writer of America, someone named, what is her name, Amy something. Let's see if I can find it without shutting off my recorder. Amy J. Murphy, Allies and Enemies, Rogues. Now, when I first started reading this, I'm like, It's one of those, it's a military science fiction, it's got aliens, it's got superpowers. It's a little bit of space opera. Well, it's actually very heavily space opera. It's a galactic civilization story set, an individual story, people story set against the backdrop of an interstellar civilization. So that makes it space opera. It's military. There's a lot of dying. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of rising action. There's very little in the way of taking a breath. It's from that perspective, I found it a little bit tedious. It's like, okay. So it looks like they're going to succeed at something, but the author says, no, we can't succeed at something. We have to make it worse. Until we get to the end. And the ending was certainly not a cliffhanger. It was certainly not a surprise. It was certainly not a twist at the end. It was clear what was going to happen. In the end, from about halfway point in the book. And yet, even knowing that, or suspecting that, I found it enjoyable. I read it. It was a good book. I'm pretty sure Amy J. Murphy will get better as time goes on. This is a very classic blow it up, save the universe kind of story. By comparison, I was reading Rachel Aaron. Now, Rachel Aaron is most well known for her books on writing. But somebody mentioned the Heart Striker series and how good it was. And I thought, really? I haven't heard this. It's paranormal. Well, urban fantasy, which is probably why I've never given it any thought, because I don't read urban fantasy. Urban fantasy is tedious. And the title is Nice Dragons Finish Last. It's a great cover. It's got some problematic typography, but it's selling pretty well, and it came highly recommended. Now, the setup is a coming-of-age story, and for a dragon, that's going to happen at a very much younger age. So the kid gets locked into his human form as a dragon and sent to the Detroit Free Zone with all of its problems, including a vengeful water spirit who will kill any dragon she finds. So he has to, he has to do some daring do. And I'm starting the story, and I got the sample, and I'm reading the sample, and I'm going, really? Really? This is what you're gonna? And by the time I got to the end, book two is out. One good dragon deserves another. And I just went and bought it. I didn't even sample it. I just went and bought the damn thing because it was so much fun. It was so much fun. Yeah, and it was a lot of gratuitous rising action. But the characters were intriguing. The characters were amusing. The characters were interesting. And so, yeah, I went and I bought it. Rachel Aaron, the Heart Striker series. It was pretty damn good. And on that note, I am at the back gate. I've been at the back gate for a while here, just trying to finish up my thinking. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.